from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You hear that song? Time to talk to our guy, Mr. Eric Nathan, Barstool Nate, Little Nate X. Nate Dogg, you going to be there week two? Jaden Daniels, home opener at Northwest Stadium, baby.
JP, you watching you have a panic attack over the stadium name on Twitter this morning has been very, very entertaining.
I don't know it's that just, panic attack's correct.
Something. What do we call the new stadium? That name is way too long. It's Northwest Stadium, JP. It's the same length as the old stadium.
Well, that was before they said what they wanted to call it. If you give it the whole name, it's way too long. But I like calling it the Fed. B-Mitch said the bank. Northwest Stadium's not bad. Jeff's trying to make up the West as a thing.
We can't call it the bank. It's not a bank.
That's true. The Union.
Yeah, I call it the Union, baby. Everybody loved the Union in college, did you not?
That's true.
All right, there we
that's
go.
True. At Maryland, they got Chick-fil-A after I graduated, which is kind of an insult.
Yeah, we had Chick-fil-A.
I think I'm just going to
keep calling the stadium a dump because it's a complete dump, even though they've made great improvements, which I was thinking about this, guys. Did the Harris Group know the length they would have to go to make the stadium even like a little bit playable? Like Dan Snyder did not put a single penny into that stadium for 20 years and just left it just falling apart in every single way. It's crazy that they put, what, $75 to $100 million into the old FedEx Field now, and it's still probably the worst stadium in football. It's
we were there the other night, and we walked around, and they've made some significant improvements to kind of like – The best example I could think of is, you know, if you go to like an old row house like Capitol Hill or Hill East or something, and those joints were built 100, 120 years ago, some of them. But if you try to gut the inside, you can make it just more modern and livable.
Yeah.
Like just walking. I made a point of walking the entire concourse of the lower level, and it seemed to have much more flow. You're still going to have – it's still an old stadium. But I find it, like, did they know? These dudes, between Harris, Rails, Blitzer, like, the top line of these guys, like, these are multi-billionaires that have run businesses internationally for decades. Like, I bet they knew what they were biting off, honestly.
Yeah, it's seeing all the upgrades. It looks, and people are saying the sound system is better, the seats are better, you know, the concourses, the VIP sections. And then we get the news that, you know, or he says in the press conference that he's looking at, what, 2030 for the new stadium, which
it's realistic.
Feels forever from now, but I do think time will fly. And I think when the new doors open on the new stadium, the collective sigh of relief and just the excitement that we're all going to have, no matter if it's in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, just getting out of, What are we saying? Northwest Field?
Yep.
And getting into
Northwest
the new
stadium.
One?
Northwest Stadium.
I'm that's going to take a while to get used to. But, yeah, I'm so ready for the new stadium. I'm so ready to turn that corner. We've turned a lot of great corners with the coaching staff, front office, and all of that. I think the stadium is the biggest one out of everything, bigger than the team name, bigger than anything. Just getting a stadium that people love and want to go to root the team on is bigger than anything.
But in the process, they've done a lot of work over here at this stadium, and I think that is going to also resonate with people. If they were doing nothing, I can understand, but they're doing stuff to make that more comfortable and feasible for fans as well. So that should help.
Yeah, definitely helps. I mean, it couldn't get much worse. So any dollar they put into it definitely helps.
I would anticipate the next stadium probably would be some level of a dome, you would think, Jay?
I think they want
it to be. And if it's a dome, it's going
to
take a minute.
I don't think I don't think the actual construction. So, I mean, the real holdup here, if they were content to stay in Maryland, they could probably start construction within a year. Westmore's gung-ho. Yeah. There is money on the table to stay in Maryland. The holdup is beyond their control. It is the carpetbagging politicians that invade our city every 2, 4, or 6 years. And the song and dance.
They're here every day, dog. They don't leave.
Right. That's a good point. Well, they arrive, perhaps, every 2, 4, or 6 years. It's like, and Harris, I thought, was really diplomatically honest about this when he talked about the new stadium Sunday night, that, yo, I'm not in the business of predicting politics in Washington, but we are hopeful that in November or December, the lame duck Congress, and now you just need it done with the Senate, will get this thing done. And it's, and then if that happens, think about the bureaucratic red tape involved with the Park Service and the Federal Land Bureau, whatever they're called. Like, there's just so many hurdles, but the hurdles are worth it if you get that site. If not, frankly, I think they just build a new joint right next to it in Landover.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And, I mean, bless the lawyer who gets to work this out. I mean, he's billing his hours nonstop around the clock trying to get this stadium
done. That man or woman is rich.
Oh, my goodness. I can't. I mean, I chose to be a blogger over a corporate lawyer, but, man, I might be regretting that right now.
All right, so we are at cut day. We are a little less than 2 weeks out from the regular season opener. You've watched all three preseason games. The biggest move, I don't think the biggest move is coming today. I think it came last week in the Jahan Dotson trade. How do you feel about your Commanders, Nate Dogg?
I don't think I've talked to you guys since the trade. Because last week when I was on, that was when Bemich was stirring stuff up, saying bad attitude, this and that. And that's when I tweeted the text.
Wait, how was I saying something? I didn't mention anybody's name. So it's y'all fault for thinking something.
Yeah, I mean, we must have just plucked that out of thin air. That's on me. I apologize.
I never said a name, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I did. I said it's Jahan Dotson. And I sent a text to JP last October. After I had a conversation with one of my inside sources that said that he had a bad attitude, and then it all came out during camp this season. I'm not meaning to, you know, trash somebody who's in Philly now, but it makes sense if you're trasher in Philly. So it makes sense that they got rid of him. It seems like they asked the bare minimum of a first-round pick wide receiver, and he was not willing to comply with what the coaching staff wanted out of him. Shipped him you know, up 95 to Philly, you know, maybe it's some addition by subtraction with him. And it's also just another Ron Rivera screw up, just another bad pick by Ron Rivera, a bad trade, you know, to move down to you know, get a third round pick, you know, took a running back, whatever, Brian Robinson. But yeah, it stinks. But again, it's one of those holdovers from the last regime that they don't feel they need with this regime. So I'm fine with it. I'm perfectly content with it. You know, maybe he has this great career, but it obviously was not going to work out in Washington one way or the other. So onwards and upward.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of meant big picture, but specific to the Jahan trade, I think that trade does not make them better week one in Tampa. And I think it's a good reminder to a lot of fans that have gotten so excited, particularly by, I think, Jaden Daniels looking pretty damn good on three drives in August, that like, oh, man, I can't wait for this season. Like, so much could happen. There's, you know, everything that happened with the Texans last year in the background. I think this is a very healthy reminder that what Adam Peters has told you all along and what Josh Harris said Sunday night is that we are focused on building a long-term elite competitor and not necessarily chasing the sugar high of what a rookie quarterback can do in 1 year. And I think that may – a lot of people don't – because I got a lot of people yelling at me about that on Friday on the show. But, like, I think it's a healthy reminder of to try to keep the big picture in mind here. And to your point, I mean, clearly, you know, you have to send a fifth along with Dotson just to get a third back. And you have to do it in the division. Clearly, this was a motivated decision by the organization to move a player.
Yeah. And it's how low I mean, this is going to sound mean, whatever, I don't care. It's how low they thought about him. To be a first-round pick, 24-year-old wide receiver, And to have the coaching staff, front office, and everybody think so low of you that they ship you in division for pennies on the dollar, like, that should be a bigger wake-up call to him than to us. Like, that's such a statement of everything.
But it's a statement of what his market was around the league.
If his mindset is that in which I'm going to prove you wrong and he can live up to that, then you can make it look like a mistake, but they wouldn't let you go. They wouldn't let you go if that was your mindset.
His mindset should be humbled and to work harder than he's ever worked in his life to prove everybody wrong. Like, you know, again, like, if he goes and has a great career, great. It was not going to be in Washington. It was clearly not going to be in Washington from everything that we saw during, you know, the last couple of months and everything we heard and everything that people said and all Beamish stirring everything up on Twitter. It just was clear that he was not going to work in D.C.
So I think there is...
Nate, you're going to stop that.
I think there is...
I'm going to stir you up on Twitter.
That I believe. Not on Twitter. Real life. I know that it's easy to get caught up in... What was the thing that stood out to me that you could call me, people got mad at me about, was the Jets game when Dotson was in that game late in the first half, catching passes from Jeff Driskel, and he kind of bobbled it coming in, right? Didn't seem thrilled about it. And frankly, I watched throughout this offseason as he took punt return drills and didn't seem thrilled about that. But I also know, to a man talking without cameras, guys in the locker room, like he wasn't disliked. He wasn't like some. I think some of the slander has gone too far. I think far more important, because there's a lot of jerks in locker rooms that are good and people just deal with it. I think far more importantly, what you saw his rookie year in Scott Turner's offense, there was a lot of motion, and Scott ran those bunch formations which allowed Jahan to get off the line of scrimmage without a lot of contact. He wasn't getting bumped. He wasn't getting jammed, wasn't facing a lot of press. As EB came in with a different style, you saw Jahan get pressed and bumped at the line of scrimmage, and he couldn't win. And when that was happening, further down his route tree, he wasn't winning there either, and he started rounding stuff off and just not being the same player. I think that is far, far more indicative of what his NFL market was. Like, if people are concerned about your ability to get off the line of scrimmage,
that's a problem.
And that was a real question for him coming out of school. I think that is why we kind of saw what the NFL marketplace was, far more than what we saw over the last 6 months.
Yeah, and when he was drafted, everybody, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people said that he was overdrafted and that he shouldn't have gone there, but Ron liked him. I mean, I almost said a word that I'm not allowed to say on radio. I could hate on Ron from now, you know, until the day I die. Like, he put this team so far behind, and they have to play so much catch-up now. And thankfully, knock on wood, hopefully, you know, having a elite rookie quarterback can help, you know, supercharge that rebuild. But we have a lot of holes on this roster. We have a lot of ground to make up. And as you said at the beginning, it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be a process. This is for the long-term build. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of guys who will play meaningful minutes this year that wouldn't play meaningful minutes on a lot of other teams in the NFL, and that's something that we're going to have to deal with, and something we might see some ugly football at times, and we might see some great football at times. And it'll be a roller coaster of a season, and something that we have to just accept right now, and we can achieve as a team. Like, I do think with this schedule and the special players on this roster, you know, this team can go out and win 8, 9, 10 games. Like, it is possible, but it's not expected. It's not, I don't have expectations that high. I just want to see guys who want to be here, who want to compete, who want to put, you know, that jersey on every Sunday and go out and play for Washington. You know, we're going to see bad interceptions. We're going to see drop passes. We're going to see missed blocks on the offensive line. It's all stuff we're going to see, and we have to be okay with it right now.
And I think that's the ultimate thing. People have to remember that this thing, like you said, doesn't happen overnight, and they may improve. But the record may not tell you that, but they may improve. And I think the ultimate thing is 5, 6 years down the road, you want to still be competing then, instead of trying to do everything this year and then next year you're back down again.
Yeah, and honestly, just to hate on the coaching staff one more time, I think it's great that Jack Del Rio is gone. I think he really, really hurt the defense and the improvement, and you didn't see them. You know, it's stuff like that. I'm just glad they washed away the old, like a wave came in and just washed away all the old coaching staff, and hopefully all the old habits that came with it. It's just, we just need to get that stink off this team and all the existing players from the last regime and just move on. And I'll try to stop talking about Ron and Jack Del Rio, but man, they really, really hurt this team.
Nate Dogg, I wanted to ask you something different. All of our baseball coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Dylan Cruz made his debut last night. You had Dylan Cruz, James Wood, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. It was kind of a juicy night. I couldn't be there because I had first day of school today, but I was watching. I think it was one of the it looked packed at Nats Park. Did you watch? Like, how much was that appointment viewing for you for Dylan Cruz to get called up?
I was unable to watch last night. Obviously, I was following along on Twitter. It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a Nats fan. We've talked about this a few times. You know, it's like, I don't think Soto will come home in the offseason. I do think it's possible. But having Wood and Cruz, you know, both up at the major league level already, they're both very young. They're very exciting. They, both of them, either of them, could become, you know, one of those faces of the league type guy. Wood obviously has already lived up to, you know, expectations that we didn't even have for him. He's just such a beast. He's so awesome to watch play baseball. And then we'll see what Dylan Cruz can do. You know, sometimes it takes guys a little longer. Sometimes they come up to the major league level and they can just hit right away and be great right away. We don't know what he's going to be. What we do know is he's a two-time All-American, you know, Golden Spikes Award winner. Every tool in the shed this guy has. It's really, I mean, we're going to need some help with pitching, and that takes forever to develop, blah, blah, blah. But the outfield is young and exciting, and, you know, the Nats, you know, that Soto trade to the Padres is still just going to pay off. They're still, you know, Mackenzie Gore, if he can get his stuff back together. No, that's three great players that came over in that trade. It's a great time to be a Nats fan.
But I think if you're thinking Soto coming back, you know, don't hold your breath on that one.
Bro, there's this. I've noticed this with a lot of beat reporters, and maybe DA wrote about this. Like, people keep – we've had a bunch of reporters on with us that cover the Nets, and it's like, all right, they're really starting to build. Now it's time for the owners to show they're ready to spend. And generally, when you have that, it's because somebody on background, deep background, off record, wherever it might be, is suggesting, hey, man, this offseason we're ready to rock. Or maybe,
are they ready to spend $500-600 million?
Or maybe somebody that works there wants to turn the pressure up to get ownership to spend again. I can't imagine who that would be. I can't imagine one single person that would want them to spend again because he's rebuilt it again. I just don't know that they're
name round the Lizzo.
I don't know that they will, dude. I just don't know.
I'll say this though. We won a World Series off pitching. I mean, got lucky that Soto at 20 years old was the best player of all time. But I've always been, always will be, a spend on pitching, not hitting guy. Let Bryce walk to Philly, won a World Series the next year on the backs of Strasburg and Scherzer and Corbin, who's, you know, still getting paid hundreds of millions off that. But yeah, we can talk about it. I'm almost saying it almost jokingly, because I don't think, you know, ownership's going to pay for him to come back. But if we want to look optimistically, use that money and just pay for pitching. If we're going to make a big signing, make it be a pitcher. That's how you win a World Series in this league.
I mean, if you think about for the Nats, now there were a ton of factors, right? But most of their elite players were homegrown. I mean, Rendon was so good. Turner, and then they spent Zim, obviously. They spent for Scherzer. And they had Strauss, but they had re-signed him.
Yeah, it's going to take two times that.
Nate Dogg, thank you, buddy. This time next week, I mean, football's here, dude. Feels great.
It feels incredible. We made it through the summer, man. I'm so excited.
Damn right. That's our friend Barstool Nate. He once hurt his foot getting out of a car. If you buy a car from Orsman Automotive of Virginia, you'll never hurt your foot. Now, that is not legally guaranteed. But what I can tell you is they have 7 locations all over Northern Virginia. And the service and the level of personal care you will get buying a car from those folks is different. You could buy a car anywhere, man. It's not a secret. You could drive around. There's a million car dealerships. There's a reason I've gotten 4 cars from there. And B-Mitch has gotten
Double digits.
It's because they take care of us. I just text my guys, and they'll be like, all right, man, let me know what you want. Here are the rates. Here's how we can make it work. They could do the same for you. They call it the Oarsman Lifetime Edge.
And I know people like to say, well, they do that for y'all because y'all talk about him on the radio. Well, no, I sent Santana over there. They took care of him. I sent my buddy Kenny over there. He bought a car, and they took care of him. And I sent my goddaughter, Big Brave Brown's daughter, and she said, Uncle Brian, every time I go there, they give me this loaner car. You know, they give me all these extras and things like that. Why is that? I said, because that's what they do for everybody. You know, and if you're getting ready to sell a car, you take it to Oarsman. Like I said earlier, they will pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. It's very simple. They like to keep their customers happy, whether we're talking about them on the radio or we just pop in there and buy a car. They want to keep you happy. So take it from JP and I, two extremely satisfied Oarsman customers. And let's
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In about 15 minutes, we're going to talk about something really stupid that Jeff just said. But right now, I want to keep things focused on cut day around the NFL and obviously in Washington. Rap Sheet just reported the Lions have released Nate Sudfeld. Anybody remember the Sudfeld era here?
No, I remember that.
Team Suds, man. He had one preseason game, and
people lost their minds.
Suds has been in the NFL since 2017, dude. It's pretty remarkable. He won a Super Bowl.
I believe that's Super Bowl champion Nate Sudfeld. Studfeld, as he was briefly known.
If I recall, Washington may not have won. Ron Rivera's first year, when they won the NFC East at 7-9, they started Jalen Hurts, and he was kind of cooking them, and they pulled him and put Suds in the second half because perhaps Philly cared more about a draft pick than a 7-9 division title. Kind of an interesting little subplot in all this. Suds getting released in Detroit, so we'll see where he ends up next. I thought a really smart line, as people are going to spend entirely too much focus on today, even though the head coach of this team, Dan Quinn, said we consider it a 70-man roster now, and that 70 won't be settled until Thursday, and the real week one roster is who takes the field next Wednesday.
Yeah. Could be.
This is from Kyle Shanahan. I thought this was pretty smart. He said, I always try to make a point of it. One of the things I say a lot is they talk about this being the final 53, but never in the history of football has the final 53 been the final 53. That's just the final 53 at Tuesday at 1 o'clock. That's West Coast time. Here on the East Coast, it's 4 o'clock.
That's the ultimate thing.
It's always changing. You've got 53 guys who you decide on, then you've got 16 squad.
Go back. West Coast time is 2 o'clock, and what time is it over here? Not 4.
No, he said Tuesday at 1.
Oh, you thought you said 2.
No, so it's 1 o'clock there, it's 4 o'clock here.
I say.
That was not me making a math mistake. There's plenty of them. I think you'll agree with this from Kyle. He said, the point is sticking around in this league and finding a way to do it. I always like to tell that to people that when they get in binds, you need to get people in the middle of the year. We'd always rather get a person we know rather than someone we don't.
Say about it, it's easy to get drafted, it's hard to stay there.
Hell yeah.
And now everybody just want to, they get drafted, and then they lose, they stop working. Or people make the team, and then they stop working. And you're not going to be around that long if you do that.
Nikki Jobvala from the Washington Post has tweeted some of this out. There's all sorts of information out there. They're starting to see some more cuts. Standing says Commanders have released A.J. Woods and Nick Whiteside. Again, for folks driving around, if you're in your car and you're on Route 50 in Arlington, like, don't get too worked up about all this because they got to release 37 dudes. There's going to be a number of releases.
37, and they can bring back 17.
They can bring back 16, and then there's the International Pathway Program.
Basically 17?
Right. There's going to end up with 70 dudes. What is very interesting, though, is Nikki has reported, and I understand why. Apparently, Washington is making calls to see the level of interest for a trade for players like Cole Turner, John Ridgeway, Jeff's guy, and now Ricky Stromberg. The Ridgeway one surprises me. I guess they want to maybe roll with Fedarian Mathis instead of Ridgeway. Cole Turner.
Or maybe they can get more.
Maybe. You
never know.
The only person of that group that I think has much of a market could be Ridgeway. Now, Ridgeway, remember, was on the Dallas practice squad. They were able to scoop him up, sign him off waivers a couple years back. Cole Turner, I argue that they need to keep four tight ends because I believe from everything I've seen, Zach Ertz is going to have a major role in this offense. And I think because he's had injury trouble and his goal is to stay healthy and the amount of football he's played, I don't think you can count on Ertz for special teams. And I think tight end is a position where you need to count on players playing that position for special teams. So I think you got to go four deep there. But I'm talking four deep by week one next week. That doesn't mean Cole Turner. I think, frankly, Sunday night was an opportunity for him to show, you got to keep me on this roster. And I don't think it went that way.
Well, the thing about it, like you got Sennett, you have Bates, you have Ertz.
Yep.
Don't Yankoff play both tight end and like a fullback type position?
Yeah, but he's not ready for a roster spot.
I mean, you never know. I mean, is Cole ready for a roster spot?
I think Turner's closer.
Turner every year is like, if he's healthy or if he could get on the route, he'd be good. If he hadn't been getting on, he may not be ready for it.
I think today we're going to get to the finish line with Bates, Ertz, Sennett. I think by next week, that could look different. Brian, one thing that I find fascinating, I think to me, Robinson and Eckler have separated themselves at the running back spot by a wide margin, right? I don't know that anybody has separated themselves to be the third running back. If there was somebody, to me, it's Mike Wiley, and it's fairly healthy distance. I wouldn't be averse if they only keep B-Rob and Eckler on this final roster. And then see what shakes out over the next 48 hours. And ideally you get Wiley back. If you can't, there's probably a lot of backs out there they like. And it gives you another roster spot to get through to your first official 53 with. If there's somebody you want to keep, try to stash, put on IR, whatever it is.
The thing about right now, the two guys that they really have to keep, that they want to keep, are the two guys we know going to make it. Brian and also
Austin.
But then the guys behind them, you know, it may be somebody on another team that they feel is cool. But I think Wiley has done a good job for himself based off of the guys that are here.
I totally agree. I don't know. Landfill, what do you think the trade market is for Ricky Stromberg?
Nope.
But think about it. Like, I think we all look at stuff like there's somebody out there that look at Ricky Stromberg and feel like, I'd rather just get him now, give up a nothing or whatever I'm going to do for him.
Conditional seven.
Instead of going out there and trying to battle with somebody to try to get him in the free agency.
It's just like what happened with Cade York. York, the kicker, was going to get released. Yeah,
it's like a business type thing. That,
right.
I mean, it's not necessarily how we think somebody looks. It's somebody out there looking at him saying, oh, dog, we got to get him in our roster.
There is zero problem with making some calls.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to result in anything.
I think they have to. You have to do everything you can because if it comes to it and you never tried anything and somebody else get him and he ends up being good, what are you going to say?
There is no I wouldn't have high expectations for that, but certainly calling around. I almost wonder if Ridgeway should have a market. Like, Ridgeway has shown, I'd argue, some real ability.
Yeah. This team is smart as hell in the fact that we're going to reach out to people and see if somebody want to move on this. Or if you release them, you get nothing for them, right? Shouldn't you try to get something every time? Whether you get it or not, you're at least trying.
You're talking about the guys they're at least trying with. Cole Turner, say what you will, has played in NFL games and has shown a real ability as a pass catcher, right? So you might as well kick some tires. Anybody out there need a tight end? Ridgeway has made real plays in the NFL, has has shown some ability to play. Frankly, I'm kind of surprised by the Ridgeway thing, but to your point, B, maybe it's – well, who would you want to keep, Ridgeway or Mathis?
Well, Ridgeway has proven it to me. I've seen him do it. But the thing about it is they're there every day, and do they see an upside in Mathis? Because I don't think he was drafted that high. We could say Ron picked him, whatever. There were other people out there wanting him too. And if he's healthy, could he be better than Ridgeway? Because Ridgeway is at a point now where you've seen what you're going to get.
I agree with that.
Sometimes you got to roll the dice, brother. Are you going to go snake eyes or are you going to roll your 7-Eleven?
The Stromberg thing, I think that is based purely on kind of draft status. He was a third rounder last year, and they know if he was a third rounder last year, when you get really outside of like the top 30, estimated draft status becomes a serious crapshoot. But Ricky Stromberg is a guy that played a lot of SEC football, and maybe there's an organization out there that thinks he can help them right away. When you have a significant coaching overhaul, players they want and their systems are going to look different also.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, there's a coach out there right now looking at some of the players that we look at and we think that, oh, they can't play. They're saying, you know what, if he was in my system, he could play. Coaches are the – like, we talk about Jeff having Asperger syndrome. You know the most confident people in the world is a coach who think they can make somebody into what they want them to be.
Well, and it's funny, when you think about, like, my system versus their system and how you maximize abilities, if you're talking real estate, the way to maximize abilities is to go with John Leahy and his group. John Leahy knows how to sell houses in the best and worst of markets.
Just like Juwan, they were looking to retire and begin a new chapter in their life, which means they need to sell their Frederick County home. And you know what they did? They reached out to John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Good call for Juwana. Not only did the property get sold in 6 weeks, John and his team also managed to sell it for $5,000 over the asking price. There are many ways and situations in which John can also help you. Start by finding out what your home is worth in mere seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group at eXp Realty. It only takes a few seconds to request an instant cash offer on your home at johnsellsdmv.com. And John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
That's just one of the reasons you should work with John. Here's another, and hear me out on this because it's important. Say you're thinking about selling your house, right? You got a job offer in Miami, and you're really thinking about it, but you know your house isn't quite ready. Your doors are a little rickety. You probably need some new doors on all three of the bedrooms in your house, and maybe you got to paint the kitchen. But you don't want to come up with the $13,000 that's going to cost you. Talk to John Leahy. He can help you get your house ready for market by getting you up to $50,000 to make repairs and upgrades you need that will drive the price up on your house when you go to market. That's the kind of stuff that makes your home irresistible to buyers. You can settle up with John on the back end at closing. It's things like that that separate John Leahy from the competition. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Breaking news on the Fan. Per a source, Commanders have released Martavis Bryant, big wide receiver that there was some excitement, might be able to really make this comeback. Now, he was on Dallas's practice squad last year. Yeah. I've been told you certainly could expect him to be back on the practice squad. Bryant caught the touchdown the other night, also drew that big pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should be shocked by this. This is a guy they signed a week prior. I do think Bryant offered them something different in the receiver room than the other players they have. Be your reaction.
Also, could he be a guy that they feel that can clear waivers? Because you look at the fact, just like the things we discussed when he was signed here, older guy, hadn't played since 2018-19. Had issues. You feel that that's somebody that other teams, he was sitting on Dallas practice right, nobody else had picked him as signed.
Nobody picked him. Yo, he was a free agent till the middle of August.
And then on top of that, he knows Dan Quinn. Could they have an understanding? You know, listen, when I say these things, people might think I'm crazy, but people disappear and don't talk to anybody else until they get ready to talk to the person they want to talk to. It could be, you never know.
Certainly. I think if they want him, which the fact that they signed him leads you to believe on some level they want him around. Mm-hmm. They clearly, anybody they cut,
They're not too worried about losing. That's the reality. It's like whenever you want to restructure a player's contract, when you are a organization is basically going to a player and saying, yo, we're going to pay you less money. You have to be prepared to cut that player because they might tell you to might give you the one finger salute.
Yeah.
If you're cutting if you're cutting a player, you're prepared to lose him. That's the reality.
Yeah.
But I think they'd like to get him back from what I hear. I also can't help but notice this. Houston, Texans, they all of a sudden have a really deep wide receiver room. Noah Brown last year in Houston had 33 catches for 567 yards and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The yardage would have made him the yardage last year from Noah Brown in Houston would have been the second highest yardage in Washington for anybody not named Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past two seasons, Noah Brown has gone for combined 75 catches, over 1,100 yards, and five touchdowns. Those numbers for any receiver not named Terry McLaurin would be the best in Washington.
Mm.
I think there's got to be some real consideration for a guy that is 6'2", 230, so it's a little more size than you had. Noah Brown is 28, played his college ball at Ohio State, was in Dallas with Dan Quinn. There's going to be a lot of familiarity between Quinn and Joe Witt and a lot of these folks with Dallas ties and Noah Brown. If he's, I don't know, I'll be curious if he gives you anything in the kick return game. I don't see any of that. I don't know, maybe it's 6'2". He's perhaps too big. I wouldn't think so. That's a guy I would kind of keep your eye on. He has produced recently at a higher level than what you've had, and the staff knows him.
Guys that are familiar with him, yeah. Makes a difference.
This is going to continue to roll out all day, but obviously the big news, if you missed it, Martavis Bryant released from Washington. Jeff, quickly, your reaction to Martavis Bryant cut.
Okay. I didn't think he was going to make the team. Like you said, it was something different, a different look for the team, but it's not weighing on me. Still not bigger than Northwest Stadium.
Really? I think this one is the first one that's bigger.
Nah. I mean, if you were to talk yourself into just because of his size and all, dude hadn't played in 6-7 years, man. How is that bigger than the stadium?
Because it's just naming rights. And naming rights don't have anything to do with winning a game.
And that's like just talking about a guy that hadn't played in 6 years.
So do you think something happens with Ridgeway, that's bigger than stadium rights? That's the dude that played for you.
He played for you, but Ridgeway is not the one that makes or break the defense.
Earlier you said anything that the football is more important than the neighborhood.
At this point now, you would hope, but in this town, we can't make every damn move that's made by the team into an issue when the players that haven't.
I'm not saying issue. I think it's more relevant to the football operation.
If it was a guy that was somebody that we know about to really make the team have been performing, then I understand. But I'm just looking at this stuff right now. I know it was a lot of hope of what could be, of possibilities. But when you come to it, he hadn't played in 6 years.
Landfill, Martavis Bryant cut bigger or smaller than Northwest Federal Credit, Northwest Stadium?
I would say Northwest Stadium is bigger, too.
Okay. There you have it. We're going to run out of time because there's going to be more news throughout this. Brian, Jeff Walker claims if he was a running back in the middle of the field, okay, and he got – we'll even give him a toss. So you're at full speed right away, Jeff. He claims he can get out of bounds before Bobby Wagner could tackle him.
Now, first, let's clear the entire situation because, one, I would never say if I was a running back. JP's just said if you were in the middle of the field and Bobby Wagner was trying to tackle you, would you get out of bounds? Yes, I would because fear – dude, you haven't been scared or something?
I love that you the thing you want to quarrel with is that I called you a running back in this scenario.
No.
Whatever you want to be,
it wasn't no scenario. The scenario was if we in the middle of the field and Bobby Wagner is coming to take my head off, would I make it? I said I would run out of bounds. Yes, I would make it to the sideline. I'm not trying to get, demolished. Look, I was.
So Jim going to run it back towards.
The, I don't care where I'm running.
He may get a touchback.
He not hitting me.
He's catching you.
Nah.
Brian?
Fight or flight, fear, adrenaline. Dude, I ran from dogs when I was in leash shape when I was younger. You think I'm not going to get from a man that's flying, trying to take my head off? I will make it there, JP. It may be one time, and I'll be done.
He's going to be scared straight.
Yep, and I don't care.
All right, you're in the middle of the field, right? A football field is 160 feet wide. Is that about right? It's about 50 yards wide. Yeah. So you have to get 25 yards. Bobby Wagner, now granted, this was his 40 time many years ago when he was drafted, ran a 4.46.
And Jeff ran a 6.4 that day, right? I think he'll catch a Jeff.
This is a different Jeff. This is Jeff trying to avoid injury here, man.
This is not Jeff too funny. This is Jeff very scared.
Yes.
Lanville, you think Wagner's catching him inbounds?
Yeah, of course.
1,000%.
So far inbounds.
I think you have I don't think you have any chance of ever making contact off JoJo Gray. I think you have a better chance at that than you do with Wags.
Let's make it even better. I bet you $1,000 he will not hit me.
This is, the most hypothetical bet of all time, which is why you're willing to make it, because this is never going to happen.
Yeah, no, but even if it did happen, I guarantee you I would slide before he even makes a contact.
But you didn't make it out of bounds.
It's cut
day. And you would have lost the bet.
And in the NFL, you can't slide because you're not a quarterback. It's cut day. News will break throughout the show. We're just getting warmed up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.